Open scripture and just keep the Bible there in your lap. We're going to jump into John 15 that Hope read for us, the first part. And if you remember, just as you're looking up John 15, remember again the context. The disciples are in the upper room with Jesus. From chapter 12 of John through to chapter 14 that we thought about last week, we thought about the storm clouds that were gathering. We thought about betrayal and denial. We thought about Jesus predicting his death. And the disciples were confused and probably quite scared as to all that was going on and being spoken about. So the storm clouds are gathering: death, betrayal, denial. And then look at the last five words of John 14. Remember, the disciples have been in the upper room for three chapters. But here, Jesus simply says to them, "Come, now let us leave." So picture in your mind's eye, the disciples gather their stuff and they begin to walk with Jesus. And where are they walking to? Well, they're walking to that place where Jesus is going to pray. So to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the Mount of Olives, quite possibly through vineyards, out into the outskirts of the city, out to the edge of the city. Some of the commentators say possibly walking past the temple, and there on the side of the temple are what? In the side, in the front of the pillars of the temple, grapevines, vines, that image of God's chosen people, Israel being the vine. Jesus says, as Hope is read for us, "I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener." So it's an object lesson. As they're walking along together, it's an object lesson about vines and vineyards, about grapes, about fruit. As I say, there's an allusion here to Israel as God's chosen people. But Jesus is also saying to the disciples, "What? I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener." He cuts off every branch. But he says, "You are in me. You are part of this vine. You are the new Israel. You are God's chosen." And he makes three reinforced points. Right here in the shadow of the cross, talking to the disciples as they walk to the Garden of Gethsemane, there are three things certainly that jumped out at me as I looked through this passage. Abide in me. To abide in me. The different shades of the Greek here are to dwell in me, to abide, to remain, to live. Like the rose bush in our garden, it was too heavy. No pun intended and all that stuff. But it fell over and it detached itself from the main life source of the rosebush. That broke. And so 13 lovely rosebuds are never going to blossom and bloom. Dwell, abide, remain, live in me. In the passage, 9 times in the NIV, remain, remain, remain in me. 9 times in this short conversation, Jesus is wanting this to hit home as he talks to his disciples as they walk to the garden. The Amplified Version puts it like this: abide vitally united to me. Abide vitally united to me. Last summer, we had the privilege of having Andrew Peterson here for 2 nights in church, singer-songwriter from Nashville. Andrew sings a beautiful song called "Rest Easy." Maybe it'd be hard to see that on the screen. It's a bit of an eye test. "You work so hard to wear yourself down, and you're running like a rodeo clown. You're smiling like you're scared to death. You're out of faith and all out of breath. You're so afraid you've got nowhere left to go. So you can rest easy." Why do you put that up? I was talking to a friend the other day and said, "Rob, what do we need to do to abide in Christ?" And he went, "Oh, well, Gordy, we need to do this. And I'm thinking, really? He says, yeah. You know, we need to do. And I says, what does the rose bush in the garden do to grow? If David or William or William plant a good crop, what do they do to make it grow? It just grows. Growth happens almost silently and quietly. I know, hold on to me here, just don't think I've gone all dodgy. But we need to abide, and an abiding is about resting. Abiding is really not about rushing and doing and pushing and fighting. Abiding is about resting, about going slow, about taking it easy. Kirsty read for us at the beginning of the service, "Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law we meditate day and night. We are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither." To abide means to rest. And growth happens without fanfare. Growth happens without fanfare or fuss. But it's about resting in Jesus. And he molds us, shapes us. We'll go there in a minute. So the first thing that Jesus is saying to the disciples, hitting them hard 9 times, remain in me. Abide in me. What does that mean? Then he says, obey. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. You are my friends if you do what I command. I have to say, and again you're thinking, Gordy, you've really gone dodgy. I don't like these verses. You know, it's kind of like the petulant child in the playground. Well, I'll only play with you if you do what I tell you. Is that what Jesus is saying? Absolutely not. The verses are uncomfortable, but in the context of greater love has no one than this, then he lays down his life for his friends. Jesus is talking about, what has he talked for the last 3 chapters in the upper room? He's talked about his death. He's talked about his sacrificial death. And the whole picture here that's going on, N.T. Wright puts it very well in one of his commentaries. It is a personal relationship of love and loyalty to the one who has loved us more than we could begin to imagine. It is a personal relationship of love and loyalty to the one who has loved us more than we could begin to imagine. Just at our last pre-communion sermon service, I read a little story. Please forgive me if you have heard it before, if you were there that night. But this is a beautiful story about Abraham Lincoln, who fought against slavery in the U.S. We read this. There is an old story that Abraham Lincoln went down to the slave block. There he noticed a beautiful young woman being offered to the highest bidder. He could see the anger in her eyes, and he could imagine what she was thinking. Another white man who will buy me, use me, and discard me. Lincoln won the bid, and as he was walking away with his property, he said, "Young lady, you are free." She said, "What does that mean?" Lincoln replied, "It means that you are free." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can say whatever I want to say?" Lincoln said, "Yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say." "Does it mean," she said, "that I can be whatever I want to be?" Lincoln replied, "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does that mean," she said hesitantly, "that I can go wherever I want to go?" He said, yes, you can go wherever you want to go. The girl, with tears streaming down her face, said, then I will go with you. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life. That is the picture of obedience here in John 15. Growth happens through loving obedience. Not out of duty, not with God as a despot or a dictator, but out of a heart of devotion that we follow Jesus. The third thing in the passage that Jesus reinforces with his disciples is to bear fruit. 8 times again in this conversation, remember it as a conversation, Jesus with his disciples. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Kirsty read for us, the person, man or woman, who is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. If we stay close to Jesus, growth happens and fruit is born in our lives. How does it happen? Remember the story of the seed and the soils and the sower, and that whole picture of the good soil is where the growth comes from. The soil that was full of nutrition, not caught by weeds and thorns, not shallow on the path, but the seed went down deep and growth happened as the soil was good soil. Any of the farmers will do that in preparing their fields. Any of the gardeners will do that in their flower beds to bring good growth. And so Jesus is the divine gardener, God, the vine gardener who tills the soil of our souls, if you like. What is the shape of my heart? What is the shape of your heart? What condition are we in? The whole picture here, verse 2 of chapter 15, is about tending, about the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Get the picture here, cutting away that which is dead, cutting back that which is healthy so that it will become even more fruitful. Purify my heart, Lord. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy. That is a painful process as God steps into our lives to bring cleansing and purity, but so that we become even more fruitful. And the last thing is this, time. He who began a good work in you, says Paul in Philippians 1 and 6, will carry it on to completion. In chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul says, not that I've already attained this or been made perfect, but I press on. And, you know, I'm not what I should be, but over time, God is changing, molding, shaping, and developing me. Time that allows us to grow. You see, we live in a culture, it's amazing that, just show of hands. I do show hands. How many people were surprised that the youngsters knew what the wee lead was this morning? Nobody? Anybody? How many people were totally not surprised? Okay, amazing. Youngsters, what, 5, 6, 7, totally clued into iPods and iPads, everything that happens, I can't click my fingers, but everything that happens at the drop of a hat. Dial-up connection on the internet, oh my goodness, it needs to happen right now. Microwave food, ping, it's ready. Holiness? No. Holiness happens over time. Growth happens as God shapes us over time. It's not an immediate thing. sprinkle some magic spiritual fairy dust and we're holy. That is not how it happens. But the challenge is, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As Jesus tills the soil of our hearts, as he tends, prunes, and cuts back, and as we give time and faithfulness in serving. Growth happens through tender care and time. Just as we draw to a close, what's the movie? Thank you. Karate Kid. Paint the Fence. Young Daniel came to Mr. Miyagi. He was getting beaten up by all these bad boys, and he wanted to learn karate to defend himself. And he found in Mr. Miyagi this man who would help him and teach him. "Teach me karate, Mr. Miyagi." I love doing this, actually. Wee-hey. Mr. Miyagi says, "Paint the fence." "But I want you to teach me karate." "Paint the fence." "Sand the floor." "Wash the car." And he had about 8 cars. "Wax the car." I want you to finish the conversation. What does it say? "Wax on." "Wax off." Oh, these are genius. "Wax on, wax off. One hand, the other hand. One hand, the other hand. One hand, the other hand." And Daniel eventually just got really cross. And he shouted at Mr. Miyagi, he says, "I've asked you to teach me karate." And Mr. Miyagi says, "Get ready." And he threw a punch at him. And Daniel went like this, "Wax off." And he threw, no, this is the film, go find the film. He threw another punch at him and he did that. And he threw another punch and he did that. And Mr. Miyagi says, "For the last 2 weeks, I've been teaching you karate. But I've been teaching you karate in the everyday stuff of life. Abide in me." It's not so much about what we do, but it's about what God does in us quietly in the daily stuff of life that molds us and shapes us as we abide in Christ, as we obey out of devotion and desire, not out of duty, and that fruit will grow in our lives. To abide in Jesus, "I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Like the African slave girl will say, "Then I will follow you." Abide in me. Let's just quieten ourselves for a moment as the band come and lead us in the great old chorus, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you." Let's just pray for a moment just before the band lead us. Lord God, we simply ask that you would help us to reflect on what you say to us this morning from John 15. Lord Jesus, the conversation you had with your disciples, that you encourage us to remain in you, to lovingly follow you, and that you will choose to bring growth to our lives. Father, help us each examine our hearts to know where there needs to be pruning and cutting back or cleansing in our lives, that we may be even more fruitful. Take us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing, please. "As the deer pants for the water." just going to worship God now in our morning offering, and we'll just keep our seats. The band are going to lead us in the praise, Lord, reign in me. That idea of Lord, reign in me, reign in my heart, that place of being abiding and remaining and obeying. So we just keep our seats, but we worship with our morning offering as we sing. Let's pray together, please. Lord, for your many gifts and for your grace in our lives, we give you thanks. And please take these gifts now as an offering from our hearts and take them with them also our lives, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. Lord, as we've considered abiding in you this morning, we acknowledge that often we are frustrated, wrestling with a sense that we are not at all what we should be. We long to be people who live out of a vital relationship with you, and so obey because we love you. Lord, draw us closer to you that we may love you more. And Lord, we give you thanks for your hand of faithfulness on Mrs. Elliott's life over this last century. Bless both her, Lord, and her family circle, we pray, as they celebrate this week. Thank you that as you have been faithful to her, Lord God, we thank you that she has faithfully held on to you, her rock and her redeemer. Bless the family, we pray, Lord. We pray too this morning, Lord, for those who struggle to rest in you,